Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I haven't talked all morning.
To Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm broadcasting live from Cleveland, Ohio. Beautiful, literally beautiful downtown Cleveland, Ohio. I'm looking at the skyscrapers on one side of me. I got the Lake Erie on the other side of me, and flew over Lake Erie yesterday, folks. It is, the water was beautiful. The water was crystal clear. You know, years ago, 30, 40 years ago, they had some problems with the lake. It was pretty heavily polluted. But I tell you what, it looked like you could drink out of it. It was so nice. And
Jim, you probably don't know, but my very first job, paid job, was as a lifeguard on Lake Erie Beach in Hamburg, New York.
Folks, this is Mick Fleming. He just can't wait to get on the show. Mick is president and CEO of the American Chambers of Commerce Executives. Welcome, Mick.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell us the story, the lifeguard story.
Well, it was my very first job. I was.
You look like you could still be a lifeguard, Mick.
Well, I could still swim, if that matters. My first job, right out, I was in high school and got a job at the town beach. And it was the first job I ever had. And, I mean, other than mowing lawns.
How old were you?
I was 16.
Yeah.
I just got my lifesaver's badge, and I was ready to go.
And so your driving passion there at that moment was to save lives, right?
Actually, the scenery was my main.
So there was another motivation for you to be a lifeguard?
Slightly. But then there was also challenges.
Chicks, right? Tell the truth. It was pick up chicks, wasn't it?
It was, well, you were hoping. The thing is, they had.
I didn't work for you, Vic. We need to report that.
No.
It didn't work too good?
No.
Were you like Richie?
Always an old broken nose jock, and even as a kid. So the interesting thing was, though, that you talked about the condition of the lake at the time. And, I mean, we literally had to pick up the dead fish in the morning so that people would go in the water.
Yeah.
And the lake turned around so fast compared to, partly, you know, the advantage of it was that the lake is relatively shallow, and so it cleaned itself very fast, and a few zebra mussels didn't hurt, and so the water's as clean as it's ever been, and as you noted, when you fly over, it's just gorgeous.
Oh, it's magnificent, yeah. And, you know, I remember reading stories about people saying that, you know, back in the early part of the 20th century, you went, when you went fishing, if you got thirsty, you just drink water out of the lake. It was that clean.
Yeah. Well, it's
I'm not sure you'd want to do that now, but maybe.
No, but it's very good.
Maybe 100 years ago.
It's very little treatment required for those who get their communities that get their drinking water from the lake. It's not much treatment required. It's very
good. So here we are at the next American Chamber of Commerce Executives Convention, 2006. We were together in St. Louis last year. I'm planning on being in Sacramento next year.
Yes, sir.
We've got big doings going on this week, haven't we?
Oh, wow. It's quite an event. I mean, we've set records now the last 3 years, and this year we thought, you know, can we do it again? Can we outdraw St. Louis? Can we outdraw Atlanta or Orlando, the last two places we went? And we weren't sure we'd be able to draw as well to Cleveland, and we're also a week later in the calendar, mm-hmm. closer to when school starts, and
right.
we were very nervous about it. But the demand and the desire for the meeting is greater than ever, and we did set another new record for
right.
attendance, and also added a new component this year with some international guests. About 26 folks from around the world, including the Middle East and Russia and the Far East.
26 attendees from other countries.
Yeah, and a good contingent from across the lake. A good contingent from
Canada.
We have two board members from Canada now, so we're broadening our scope, and we hope that continues, because there's obvious connections that are happening all over the world, and the chamber community should be part of that rather than feeling at all parochial.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Mick. That is a very wise statement that you just made, and you're exactly right. I mean, we live in a global economy. Just because you have a local chamber doesn't mean that you can't reach out. I mean, most communities have businesses, plants, that kind of thing, in their community, in their neighborhood, that are owned by multinationals.
Oh, yeah. They're owned by multinationals, and the ownership has become less important in many ways than you know, who's doing which work,
right,
and where the work is being performed, where the value is being added.
Right.
Because if you add value from either intellectual or muscle, or just skills, then that adds the value of the product and builds the local economy. And so it's really great to hook up. And I think most of the, a lot of the international deals that are made and opportunities that are set up for plants in either place or activities in either place are set up by these personal relationships. And when you get the multiplier that a chamber exec can bring to the table, and you put that in both community, both countries, it's great.
It is. I have been so impressed over the years with the chamber executives, the presidents of the local chambers that I have met. They really do care. And when you come to an event like this one and you see them together with their peers and the relationship that they have with each other, that they get to know each other, the new friends being formed, friendships being formed, the old friends that they know, it's very exciting. We have a great time here. We'll take a quick break. Mick Fleming is our guest. He's with the American Chamber of Commerce Executives. He's the leader there. He and I have got more to talk about right after these messages. I'm in Cleveland. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I encourage you to check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, check out our blog, too, and all of the archives and articles, thousands of each one of those that are there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Mick Fleming is our guest and actually my host here. He's the president of the American Chamber of Commerce Executives and CEO also of that fine organization based out of Washington, D.C., but once a year traveling around the country to the conferences to let all these chamber executives come and get a little smarter. Right, Mick?
Yeah, well, I think the once a year is the chance we get together as a whole group, but there are activities where we get together throughout the year with our subgroups. We have quite a network of chamber leaders, and one of the things that they like most is what they can learn from each other and not just what they learn from the classroom.
I really saw that last year in St. Louis. I have to tell you, Mick, and I've said this to the audience before, this isn't my first rodeo. I've been to a lot of conferences in my life, a lot, and I've seen a lot of industry communities come together, but the friendship, the respect, the love, really, and I don't mean that in a flippant way, folks, the love that I saw between these groups, this group, when these people they see once a year, the relationship I saw between all these people impressed even me, and I'm a pretty jaded guy.
Well, they do. It is a sense of family and network that we have that about 4 years ago when we did our first strategic plan after I took over, we really kind of had a moment of one of those aha moments about the power of the network, and that the network is as important as anything else we deliver. It's not a byproduct, you know, like networking at a cocktail party where you just happen to meet some people.
Right.
We do this stuff deliberately. We hook people up on purpose, and we have what we call horizontal networks that tie communities of the same size.
Right.
And then we have vertical networks based on what job you do.
Right.
You know, an organization like the Cleveland Partnership, you know, they've got people who run insurance programs. They've got communications people. They've got political staff. You know, they've got, you know, 60-something employees. They all need professional development.
Right.
And they all need their own network. And so we provide that through ACCE.
Well, and that's the kind of thing. That's one of the reasons why I encourage small business owners in local communities, join your chamber, be part of it, but find a way to get your executives to one of these conferences. It's very important. It doesn't cost that much money. Put it in the budget, you know, plan for it, and get them scheduled.
Well, we work hard to keep the costs reasonable. We've got great sponsor support from you and others, you know, that really helps control the cost and increase the quality of the programming. So we do also encourage everybody to take part. But, some of the small chambers have to get the residual value out of this thing. So what we do is, you know, we produce all this stuff available for all the members. Everything that comes out of the convention, almost all of it is accessible now through downloads and through audio and through other means, so that they can get a lot of the wisdom and knowledge, because we recognize that both budgets and time frames in some smaller chambers, it makes it tough.
Right.
And for the big chambers, you know, the challenge is that their agendas really crank up in the fall, and so they're doing some planning stuff in the summer, and a lot of them haven't had any time off, so it's sometimes for the larger chambers it's tough too, and we make sure they get their access.
Now, you talk to a lot of chambers of commerce executives during the year, not just here this week, but all during the year. I know you travel over the country meeting chamber members and chamber executives. What would you say is the classic challenge that local chambers have, say a 900,000 member chamber has?
I think the biggest challenge that the chambers have right now, they've got a couple of big ones. One is, you know, can they influence policy? And I don't mean this big P or big A advocacy or big L lobbying. I mean, can they influence what's happening policy-wise in their communities and their states with the resources that they have, or do they need more? Mm-hmm. And they... to have the relevance and the power that they need to kick some butt, either locally or at the state or county or even sometimes national level, they have to be able to do that. And whatever scale organization it is, a small chamber that just wants to make sure that nobody passes some stupid sign ordinance that's going to put everybody out of business, or a big chamber that wants to make sure that a highway intersection makes it, or a bridge, or a new plant. And so they've got to have this advocacy power, and do they have enough grit, muscle, and money to do that? That's a big one. And the second one is, I think, related to leadership right now, the changing nature of the American business, the world business community, makes it so that managers are more transient, ownership may be anywhere, and so the tie-in and the relevance and connection of the chamber to this transient management, it's hard to establish that connection nowadays. And the value to somebody who's going to only be in the job for 18 months before they move to the next bank or the next factory.
Right.
And that's very difficult sometimes to get that linkage and to get the volunteer leaders.
People have the local, there still are plenty of local restaurants, for example, but you got all these new chain restaurants coming into a lot of communities. They don't always see the benefit, but they've taken a lot of money out of the community. Maybe not even spend the night in the community, but maybe they're not adding back to the community. How do you connect with those guys?
Yeah, we've got a lot of discussions at our place about the big box retailers, and will they engage? And they should.
Some of them do, and some of them don't.
Some of them do, and some of them don't. You know, Walmart does a great job of participating in their local and regional opportunities and connections. Lowe's is very connected to their communities and really participates.
Right. Mick, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come with our good friend Mick Fleming, the president and CEO of the American Chamber of Commerce Executives. That's ACCE.org. Is that right, Mick? And he and I will be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm having a great visit with our good friend Mick Fleming, the President and CEO of the American Chamber of Commerce Executives. And ladies and gentlemen, I really want to encourage you to be part of this organization, for your chamber to be part of this organization. If you're a member, you're a board member, you're a committee member, or just a member, as I have been now for almost 30 years in my chamber, I encourage you to make it available, make it possible for your chamber to join this organization, for your chamber to be part of what's going on here and what they're doing, and to get your executives to the next national conference, which is in Seattle next year, right?
Nope, Sacramento.
I didn't mean Seattle. You said Seattle in the break, and I had that in my mind. Sacramento. That's right, California. I actually said it correctly earlier.
Yeah.
But Sacramento, in fact, the the president of the Sacramento Chamber is going to be here the last interview on Friday to kind of get us headed in that direction.
You're going to need a taller chair. Matt's about 6'8", so you'll have to get some room.
I'll have
for
to
him.
Get a box to stand in when we have our picture made. Won't I?
Yes.
Most everybody does. 6'8". Well,
you mentioned that I think your message must be getting through to some people, Jim, because membership for us has grown dramatically over the last.
We do what
years.
We can, man.
Yeah, you did. You've done well. We've had growth. When I took over in 2001, we were about just under 1,000 members, and we're about within spitting distance of 1,500 now. So
congratulations.
It's been a great growth period for us, and the members and the buy-in, you know, retention rate's over 90%, and you know, we really do keep people when we get them, and they taste it and they love it, and so we try to over-deliver, and it seems to be working, and the membership. That network that I'm talking about keeps growing, and as it grows, it gets more and more valuable.
Well, and see, I've got an ulterior motive. I mean, I like you, Mick, and I like Chris and Jen and all the folks at your organization. But my ulterior motive is that if you do your job well and you're successful, then Chamber of Commerce executives are going to be successful. And if Chamber of Commerce executives are successful, then more value is being added at the local level for small business owners. And those are my heroes. Those are the people I work for. And so, to me, this is just too off. You're just too off from the people that that I wake up thinking about every day. And I know you do, too. I know you work with chambers, but I know you know who butters their bread. And so, because 90, probably low 90s, if not 95 or so percent of all chambers, of all chamber membership is small business, under 50, probably under 20 employees.
And that's where all the jobs are being generated.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, more and more of the chambers that are involved in economic development understand that entrepreneurial development and nurturing of entrepreneurs and taking care of small businesses to keep them in position to grow and to succeed and thrive has become a big part. It's not just smokestack chasing anymore.
That's right.
It's all the things you have to do to nurture an economy from the ground up, instead of trying to think that it's always about attraction.
The global economy has changed the way we think about economic development, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You talk about it's not just smokestacks anymore. The smart communities are okay. They've got their eyes open. They're out there looking for the 500 person plant. No question about that. There are a few of those being built this year, but not that many, and not nearly as many as before. And they need to be hunting those rabbits out there, those onesie twosie little companies that's going to grow into 10 employees in 10 years or 5 years. They need to be focusing on those people too, don't they?
Yeah. Well, on the basic information stuff that the chambers provide for small business, that's more, you know, a lot of that is also done by the SBDCs and the Small Business
Right.
Development Centers are great for that startup. It's that next phase for a lot of these companies where they're in business and they're at a turning point.
Right.
You know, are they going to stay a mom and pop in the garage or in the, you know, pizza shop or in the paving company? Is it just going to be father-son paving company?
Right.
Or are they going to make that next leap? Are they going to start to do, you know, big commercial jobs? Are they going to start to have some employees? And it's at that point that the chambers, I think, can really, really help is that ramp up that gazelle stage. And that's where we really encourage the chambers to work.
Well, and they also have to think about the fact that with the telecommunications, the way we have what we have today, the technology, people can live anywhere and do many, many jobs. So people can transfer. They don't have to live where, in one particular place. They can be anywhere and work globally.
Yeah, the home base business issue though is a challenge for chambers.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a challenge to get those folks engaged. And
as
that,
much of a herd of cats as small business owners, our home base business are more. And I've got to wrap it up. Mick, give us your website again, please.
www.acce.org. It's ace with an extra C in the middle.
Hey, Mick, thank you for the hospitality this week. I'm looking forward to working with you guys.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah. Mick Fleming, ladies and gentlemen, with the American Chamber of Commerce Executives. And I've got to take a quick break. I'll be back on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.